to Pearlman Podcast. I'm sitting here in Hong Kong with one of my favorite person, Ray Young. Ray, I've known Ray for many years, and I will let Ray to tell you who he is and why he's a disruptor.
Oh, okay. All right. Hello, Pearl. How about? Thank you for inviting me. Yes, we've known each other for decades. I'm a filmmaker, mainly focused on doing LGBT movies. I also is the chairman of the Hong Kong Lesbian and Gay Film Festival. My last movie, the recent movie that I'm launching now, went to the Berlin International Film Festival. So we had our world premiere there, and it's now coming to Hong Kong. So now I'm doing my pitch here. So the opening film of the Hong Kong International Film Festival, and the Cantonese title is 从今以后.
But you got an award. Why don't you tell people you get an award? You got a Teddy Award from the Berlin Film Festival.
Yes.
It should be a Hong Kong proud.
Yes, it is. It is. I think it's the first time in 26 years. I think the last time someone from Hong Kong won the award was in 1998.
Which film was that?
It was Stanley Kwan, the director.
Oh, I know Stanley.
Yeah, so he made a movie in 1998 and that won the Teddy Award. And I think that was the only Hong Kong director who has ever won. I'm the second Hong Kong director who won the award. And there's another Taiwanese winner, 15 years ago. So it's really only three Chinese language movies that ever won the Teddy.
I'm so proud of you, Ray.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, let's... I want everybody to know about Ray's background. Ray is actually the only son out of four siblings. And he studied law, and he's supposed to become a lawyer.
Yes.
So since when do you know that you want to change? I mean, law, of course, is your parents' insistence. So since when do you want to change to become a director?
Well, I mean, Pearl, you know it better than anybody in this world, I think, because we used to live in London together and we used to study together. And I used to complain and just say that, oh, Mom, I can't do something more interesting, something that I like. And why do you have to do this? So even from then on, I was already knew that I wanted to do something else.
Why film?
Because I really love movies, and I feel that film is something that someone can, for a very short period of time, 45 minutes or an hour, depending on the length of the movie, to really step into another world and be someone else and can see their world from their perspective. I think it's very, very a good way for the world to actually embrace diversity and also to understand what is empathy. So I think filmmaking is a very, very important thing, and it's something that we can actually show the world who we are. So I think one of the main reasons was that I was living in London at the time, and the very first reason that I wanted to do movies was because that I felt there was a very lack of representation of Asian gay men in the West at that time. So therefore, I felt, well, I really ought to do something to represent us in the media, not in a very kind of like stereotypical way. So therefore, the first reason that I wanted to make movies.
We all have these very all these very traditional family. All our parents expect us to carry on with a certain career. So for you to go back to your parents and say, sorry, Dad, sorry, Mother, I am not going to be a lawyer. I want to be a film director. What was the reaction? Especially high hopes of you, the only son.
Well, I mean, for my parents, I mean, my kind of disappointment comes in not just that, you know, a million other things as well, because I'm gay. And of course, you know, I couldn't carry on the family name. So that's all that comes with it. So eventually, when I decided that that is something that I wanted to pursue my own career, I just decided to do it all in one go.
Explain to everybody, what does it mean by all in one go?
So you might as well, right? If you're going to disappoint them, you might as well tell them that I'm not going to be a lawyer and I'm gay. So at least they can choose which one is more disappointing.
So then you start studying in Kent, if I remember, and then you went to New York.
Oh, originally, when I did the law degree, yes, I was in Canterbury, yes, and then I went to the College of Law, and then I did all that. And then I came back to Hong Kong, and then I stopped doing law already at that time. And I started doing advertising, you know, TV advertising. And that was actually good in a sense, because I got myself out of the legal field, and it was doing something that I really wanted to do, and learning about filmmaking. But as it went on, I realized that, you know, advertising or promoting a product is not really something that I wanted to do. So therefore, I eventually decided to go to New York and enroll in Columbia University, and I did an MFA in filmmaking, yeah.
And did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Of course, I was... It just took me so long to eventually get to that stage in my life. And then I just felt that I had a lot to catch up, because eventually that I was studying something that I really like. So the course was 3 to 5 years. You can finish in 3 years or 5 years, you know, depending on how long it took you to do your project. So I actually finished my thesis in the third year. And then I could still stay on, you see, for another 2 years. And you just had to pay half of the school fees. And then you can kind of like use a lot of the school facilities. So after that, I actually made my a feature film in New York.
Banana Skin? No,
it's called Front Cover.
Oh, Front Cover. Okay,
yes,
okay.
Yes. So I made that film when I was actually in college.
And where were, I mean, okay. So Hong Kong boy, this... a gay Hong Kong boy going to become a film director, and she only wants to make films about gays. Your parents, were they digging a hole trying to hide themselves?
Well,
because no parents in Hong Kong want to accept their children to be gay, which is really a serious problem.
Yes, but I also actually at the same time started the Hong Kong Lesbian and Gay Film Festival. So
it's really in their face, right?
Well, you have to embrace it.
Because many of our friends, we all know that.
Yes.
They wouldn't even go up to tell their parents they're gay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you know, the parents know, but they wouldn't confront the issue. We're set in this era. We still is like this.
Yeah.
This, for you to do that, and especially your family is a very established family.
Yeah.
Then they want to dig a hole.
Well, the thing is that if you're going to do something, there's no point doing it halfway. You know, there's no point that if I'm going to do it and I'm going to hire it, like try to make movies, but I cannot make movies about LGBT lives, and I'm making something in order to halfway please them. I mean, what's the point of that, right? I have already gone that far that I really need to truly live my who I want to be and embrace myself, because by then when I did it, I was already not that young, right? So I'm already felt that I really, really should be who I am for the rest of my life. So at that point, I just have to tell them who I am. This is what I'm going to do. And then I just went on and do what I believe that is something that is important to me.
But luckily, your sisters are all very supportive.
Yes, as
that was,
well.
That was really, you know, blessing and in disguise. So, okay, first movie you did, where was it being released?
Well, the very first movie was actually, I did it when I was in London before I actually went to Columbia. It was like a very, very low budget.
I remember I watched one of your, is it called Banana Skin or whatever?
Banana Skin was a play that I did, a stage play. So at that time, I was still involved in law, but I just really wanted to do something different in order to see whether I have got the passion and the talent. So at first I did a stage play called Banana Skin way
so
back,
funny.
Basically about people that we know, so about that circle and that society. And then after that, then that film that I did is called Cut Sleeve Boys, which is a very, very a low-budget film, which I really wanted to explore and see whether I wanted to be a filmmaker at that point. So I basically got a bunch of friends, some of the actors that I knew from the play, And then I met up with a couple of really, really great people, the producer who works for the BBC, and she just came on board to help me because she just felt that, well, you know, there's this person who is trying to make a low-budget independent movies about gay Asian guys in the UK, which is such an interesting topic. So she came on board, and her husband is a DP, so she brought her husband on board and shot the movie for us. And, you know, it was very low-budget. We just shot in different people's friends' houses and things like that, but it was the beginning. So I did that movie. It was my first movie.
Where do you release it?
In the UK, I think it also went
in cinema club.
No, it went to the Outfest Film Festival in LA, and I won Best Feature.
Wow!
I know. It was my very first film. I won Best Feature at the Outfest Fusion Festival. So I was thinking, okay, well, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do this. So that is how it started. So I think, well, okay, so obviously I didn't have this dream. I didn't think that I can do it, but I couldn't. It's something that maybe I can try. So from there on, I start writing a little bit more.
So up to, and yeah, I know, you write, you direct,
yeah,
and you produce.
Yeah.
Okay, you do everything
apart from
yourself.
Acting.
Apart from acting.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, yeah.
So now, how many films have you made so far?
This is only my fourth.
Because your third film, Asok, which is in English name is Try Like Kiss, right?
Yeah, in America it's
In America it's Try Like Kiss. And it was really well received in France as well.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I saw two times or three times.
Okay, all
because
right.
I always consider your movie is full of humor, is really good laugh. But on the Try Like Kiss was moving.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you can draw tears.
Well, what happened was that the first two movies that I did was very much, like I said before, very much about representation of gay Asians in the West. So in 2015, I moved back to Hong Kong, and then I wanted to make a Cantonese movie because I've never really done anything that's in Cantonese before. Everything that I've done before that was in English. So, but I can't write Chinese. So that was always a hurdle that I had to go through. So eventually in 2015, I just felt that, look, you really, really need to do a Cantonese movie. So I actually wrote it in English, and then I actually got someone to translate it in Cantonese.
Oh, really?
Yes, but I can speak fluent Cantonese. So what happened was that after he wrote
but
the
writing
script,
is very different.
The dialogue I recorded on my phone and sent it to the translator to write it. I know it's a very, very like involved process because I can't write in Chinese, but that's the only way I could do it.
Like all of us, our Chinese are bad.
Yes. So we have to find our own ways of doing it. Yeah.
Oh, so you tape and then you voicemail him and then
the dialogue. Yeah.
The dialogue. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So that's how you wrote the. So why you change from a really comedy to actually really sad movie?
Yes, because in 2015 when I came back, I really wanted to look for something to write that's not about myself. By then I've already done two films that is kind of like with around people I know. So I came across a book called The Oral Histories of Older Gay Men in Hong Kong, written by a Hong Kong University professor called Travis
Fong. In English
Fong.
Or in Chinese?
It's in Chinese. It took me a whole Christmas vacation to read it because it was an oral documentation. So everything was written in Cantonese, the way you speak, which makes it even harder to read.
Very hard to read.
Yes. Because I think if people who don't know about Hong Kong cultures, like when we were growing up, we studied Chinese as in written Chinese, which
if
is kind of like
Chinese
Mandarin.
The written Chinese is like Mandarin,
yeah.
But you don't speak Mandarin, but you read literary Chinese.
Yes. Anyway, very confusing. Yeah. So it took me a long time to read that book, but it was very interesting. It's about this bunch of old gay men who are in their 60s or 70s already, and most of their life spent in the closet. They are all sort of like from a very blue-collar sort of like background. So I asked Travis whether I could meet some of these people. So he said, yeah, okay, some of them
Trevor is the professor who wrote it.
The professor who wrote it. Okay. So he said some of them passed away already. So I thought, well, there's a real, you know, sort of like urgency to do this story. So I met up with some of them and became friends, really went to their house and then have a chat, look at their photographs and everything. And so I basically gather their stories and the way they think, what they think about being gay and all that, and sort of like rearrange and recreate the script, sort of like reimagine what it would be like if two of them met each other and fall in love now. With both of them are grandfathers. So that's how that story came about.
But that was a very touching story. Yeah. Because the ending is really not what I want. I want happily ever after, right?
Yes.
Right? And there's nothing called happily ever after. So actually, when I watched that movie, I said, oh my God, Ray can actually make people cry, not just laughing the head off. So after that, how was that movie being received in Hong Kong? All my friends loved it. I remember I booked a whole cinema, so I invited all my friends there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but was it in general? Was it well received here?
It was interesting because it was released during the COVID, so it was good and bad at the same time. I mean, of course, it's bad because COVID, everything closed. But at the same time, because of COVID, a lot of the Hollywood movies, like all the Marvel, they didn't want to release it around that time. So suddenly, a lot of the cinemas have a lot of slots. So the movie was able to open in 60 cinemas across Hong Kong. And because there were not a lot of movies being shown, suddenly we were being highlighted everywhere. So in that sense, it was very high profile for that period of time. But of course, you know, in terms of box office, I think it was good, but it could have been better because at the end of the day, COVID, a lot of people would not dare to go to the cinema. And Hong Kong, to a certain extent, is still very homophobic, of course, right? So a lot of heterosexual men wouldn't go and see the movie. A lot of, like, wives who would want to see it, and they try to drag their husbands to go into it, and they wouldn't. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Homophobia. I mean, I spoke to a lot of people. Yeah, it's still very much, you know, in Hong Kong.
Where can you watch that movie?
No. Well, it's on Amazon, I think, and in the US you can watch it, I think, at Netflix, but depending on period of time,
watch Ray's movie. It is spectacular.
And America is called Twilight's Kiss. Yeah,
Twilight, Hong Kong is really called love it. And how about in Europe it's called S-U-K or Twilight Kiss.
In France, I can't speak French, but the translation is Springtime in Hong Kong.
Springtime. Completely different.
Yeah. They all because right in Spain they have a different title. In Brazil, we were also there and had a different title. In Spain, it had a different title. So in Thailand, it had a different title. So yeah,
I thought that movie should earn you some awards because that movie
we won
so
a lot of awards.
Touching.
Yeah.
What awards did you earn for that movie?
I think for the Hong Kong Film Awards, I think we had 9 nominations. And then we won Best Actor and Best Supporting Actress. Yeah. And then we got nominated for 5 Golden Horse as well. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, how about international?
A bunch, but there are like a lot of different sort of like film festivals awards.
Because I thought you were talented.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Because, Pearl, you meet so many important people in your life. And
no, I thought,
I'm
my
so
God.
I'm so honored that
my
you actually
dear,
asked
dear friend,
me.
After all these years, now I recognize his talent.
Well, it's so funny, right?
It's great.
Talking about all those years back, we were sitting there thinking, oh, what we want to do with our lives and things like that. And look at us now, right?
Yeah,
so it's quite wonderful that you are doing something that you love and I'm doing something that I'm passionate about.
Passionate and good at it, which is important. Let's talk about this new movie of yours, All Shall Be Well.
Yeah.
All Shall Be Well. Now you're not talking old gay men. You're talking old lesbian now.
Yes. But I didn't do it on purpose because people asked me, they said, well, do you purposely like do something that's about older generation of women? Is that your thing? It's not actually. It's because around that time in 2020, I went to a talk about the LGBTQ rights for inheritance rights in Hong Kong. Because as you know, in Hong Kong, there's no same-sex marriage. And if a couple has been living together for a long time, and if they didn't make a will, then they're really not protected in any way legally. So during the talk, the speaker was saying that there are a few couples that he knew that basically one partner passed away and the surviving partner lost everything. So I said, oh, do you mind introducing me to some of these people. So he was very kind. So he introduced them to me. So I spoke to them. And eventually, I find that there's one thing that is very common among these people is that before that disease passed away, her family members and the surviving partner, the relationship used to be very good. Before they passed away, they even went on holidays together. They have dinners, Chinese New Year, they spend together and everything. Until the day that the partner passed away, everything changes overnight.
You mean every single case is like
those three cases?
Yes. So similar.
Yes, yes. So that is how I decided that inspired me to write the story. And therefore, it has to be about a couple that has been together for a long time. So therefore, it's sort of like in their twilight years. And the reason I chose a woman couple, a female couple instead of men, because a lot of the female couples, they were able to be accepted in by the society on the surface.
Yes,
you know, in
absolutely.
Hong Kong, two women together in their 60s, everybody think they are sisters, 姊妹,
yeah, 姊妹,
and
yeah.
they pretend that they are not lesbians, they just are...
They close one eye, yeah.
Yes, yes, you see. But two men in their 60s, you couldn't even do that because the society, the family members, will not embrace two old men going to a wedding together,
no.
right? But two women, they would kind of turn a blind eye to it. So therefore, it has to be a lesbian couple. That's why the story is based on two women.
But you are actually bringing a problem which exists in Hong Kong and bring to the screen so people can recognize that.
Yes.
What is happening.
Yes.
And, you know, how was the reception in Berlin? Isn't that for Berlin, for the European country, is quite a passé problem. It's no longer their problem at all.
No, that's not true. Actually, I was quite surprised too, because like I thought, you know, a lot of countries have same-sex marriage or is protected, but actually that is not the case.
No?
No, because when I was there, when doing the Q&A, and there will be people in the audience, they actually said that I'm not gay, but I'm in a long-term relationship with my girlfriend. But actually, if one of us pass away without a will and we are not married, the same thing would happen. So actually, in a lot of countries, this person was from Sweden.
Sweden is very liberal.
That's what you think, because actually a lot of the times the law doesn't have enough protection for all these people, these different types of relationship. We are always being forced into this marriage kind of model, and only that will provide you a lot of the protections. So I was very surprised, but of course my movie was not just about the legal status and the rights, but really it's about human relationships.
Yeah, human relationships.
How that affects people.
Money like, affects people.
Yes, but it's also like these people, they have this long history together, they used to be like a family, but because with all these things that happen, then suddenly everything overnight, it changes. In one case, a woman, her partner passed away. The next day, the family members said to her, where are all the watches? Because we want to have a nice watch for her in the funeral. Can you bring back all her Rolexes, all her watches for us to select? So then they just take all her, you know, all her watches and all her jewelry.
Whoa.
Yes, that happens overnight. You know, that's what, you know, one of the interviewers told me. Yeah. Quite shocking. Yeah.
Very shocking. But I still believe that we humans do have some ethics.
Yes. But in one case also, the partner passed away, the family members start going to the apartment where they're staying and actually stay there. And while she was out, they changed the lock.
Huh?
Yes. Yes, yes. When you hear stories like that, they really make you think, wow, my goodness. People can do that. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean, whenever you make movies like this, don't you feel heartbroken? Because you were saying that you want to bring empathy. But there's no empathy when you behave in a certain way.
Well, you see, that is the real life situations that I interview. But in my movie, it's different. I actually didn't make that family members to be so cruel, because I felt that if you do that in a movie, the audience are going to watch it and they say, well, I won't identify with that family members. Those people are nasty and mean. I'm not like that. So actually, in my movie, I actually make the family members quite sympathetic. They all have their reasons to want to get hold of the apartment. So that I wanted the audience to question themselves. It's like, okay, if I am in that situation, if I also need that apartment, would I let this woman live in there who legally have no protection? So I want the audience to question themselves to see how homophobic they are. Because we can all be very nice and generous when we have plenty. But if you also have that need, will you be able to entertain your moral obligation? So that is the question that I want to ask the audience.
Beautiful. I liked it. Okay, let's talk about you being an independent filmmaker. I think, you know, last few times when I talked to you, we talked about how difficult it is and how little money the government subsidizes. And so I want you to share with the audience, I mean, especially in Hong Kong, being a filmmaker and the golden period of film industry has completely disappeared. Mm-hmm. I just read about in the 80s, 90s, Hong Kong exported, number one exporter of film is from Hong Kong. I just read about it. And so now we are in a really low timing because there's not many people who once have Hong Kong film and therefore the Hong Kong production. The money investing in Hong Kong film is very low. And even though the government wanted to support, is very little. So how do you control and how do you finance? And tell us about your process of being an independent. Is it tough shit?
It's very, very tough. I mean, first of all, I want to say that the Hong Kong film industry cannot really look back to those days because in the 80s and the 90s, not a lot of countries in Asia were actually making a lot of films or really had a film industry. Like Korea didn't have a film industry in the 80s and
really?
The 90s.
Really? I didn't realize.
Not really, not as big, you know. And Taiwan was at a very low place. Thailand didn't really make a lot of movies at that time. And China movies wasn't really exporting. So Hong Kong became like a very important and significant place. But the world has changed so much now in Asia. Yeah. So many countries have their own movies and big film industry. So that's partly the reason as well. But for me individually, because of the subject matter that I like to approach, which are LGBTQ, and so it's always been seen as a niche. So, you know, I just
You do self-financing.
Well, friends like you, people like that, who I know and who will help. But I try to apply for government funding for Suk Suk, I did. And at that time, because I first moved back to Hong Kong, and like I said, my script was translated. So one of the reasons they said that, I think that was the reason.
This is Asuk.
Asuk, Suk Suk, right? Because I think they didn't know who I was at that time. And so they look at the script and they just said that, this looks like a translated script. This person is the... It's written in English and translated into Chinese. So that was part of the reason they said that they didn't give it to me. But I think one of the reasons is mainly because it's also LGBTQ subject matter, right? And also about old people. And the Hong Kong Film Fund is very funny because like most film public funding, what they do is like they give you the money because your project is interesting. It might advance the industry or the reputation of that country, right? It's not supposed to be financial gain. Mm. But the Hong Kong Film Fund is different. It's actually a co-financing system. So they will only invest in your project because they think that there's profit that comes out of it.
Which is
very, very weird because if my project is that commercial viable, I could just go to any private sector.
Yeah, why should you wanna,
Right? But so it actually doesn't really make a lot of sense. It should be catered for project that is about social issues.
Yes, exactly.
May not be commercial, maybe slightly, you know, surreal or whatever, something that's interesting. But it's not like that. You know, I've already complained to them many times, but, you know, they didn't really want to listen to me. So anyway, so they rejected me for Suk Suk. So now this time when I apply for All Shall Be Well, I thought it would be easier.
Yeah.
Just as difficult.
Really?
If not harder. Yes, yes.
Why?
Well,
you already have a history, a track record.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Well, when I make a gay movie, they said lesbians is more commercial viable. Now that I make a lesbian movie, they said more people like to watch gay movies. Right there. It's already contradicting. But yes, I submitted the application, I think, in 2021. I never heard back from them. Yeah, I apply and then I ask what's going on and no one answered me, la-di-da-di-da. Oh. And then eventually, so I got enough money from people that I know, investors, private investors, and I make the movie myself. And then earlier last year, I finished the film already. I already completed, we were submitting it to Berlin. Eventually, they came to me and said that, okay, you got the funding. This is after 2 years, I already make the film. So I said, well, okay, all right. Well, why not, right? If you're going to give me the money anyway. But then they came with all these regulations, crazy, crazy regulations that is so strict that by then I couldn't accept those regulations anymore because I already signed with an international sales agent. I already have signed contracts with the actors. They want me to go back to the actors and resign and other...
No, you cannot. It's too late.
They have already shot the movie and pay and left and do another project. I cannot go back to ask them to re-sign another contract to give out all their rights. So all these regulations make it very, very difficult. I would not be able to take the funding. So eventually I have to withdraw.
So, I mean, as an independent filmmaker here, I mean, you know about US, you know about UK. Is here more difficult than US and UK?
In terms of making independent...
Yeah, as an independent filmmaker, because making films here must be cheaper than UK and US, right?
Not necessarily, yeah. Because in Hong Kong, the film industry, also don't forget, because for a long period of time, a lot of the Hong Kong people, workers, they went up to work in China.
Yes, a lot of them goes to China.
And then the pay in China was very high.
Much higher than here.
So that's why when they came back to Hong Kong, they didn't want to work in Hong Kong movies because the pay is so different. So for my project, I actually get a lot of younger filmmakers, you know, sort of like camera crew or the art department. They're much younger, not the old sort of like practitioners. Yeah, mm-hmm. But working around, well, I guess it's always difficult, you know, it's never easy, you know, making a film. But is it more difficult in Hong Kong? The casting certainly is more difficult.
Yeah, because you want lesbian and gay casting here.
Yeah, at that age group
really
particularly.
Difficult, tough.
Yes, because when I was casting for Sook Sook, it took me a year. Yes, it took me a year because a lot
but
of...
But none of the both of them is not gay, right?
No,
the
no,
both
no,
men
no.
are straight.
Yeah, yeah. It took me a year. I mean, at that time, I was I didn't really know a lot of actors, so I was like watching a lot of like you know TVB or TV series, and then I realized, oh, this seems quite interesting. So I call them up. I cold call them, and of course they said that, oh, who are you? What makes you think that I want to play a gay man? What makes you think that I look like gay? No, and put the phone down on me. Yes, very shocking. And so eventually, one of the actors that I actually found him in Taiwan. I actually had to fly to Taiwan to meet him, the main guy, Tai Bo. He was living in Taiwan at the time. So I actually went to Taiwan to meet him because I couldn't find anyone in Hong Kong to do it. And then the other actor, Ben, was not a film actor. He was a stage actor. So I actually had to meet up with him through watching him on stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how about censorship then? How's the censorship in Hong Kong?
Funny enough, for LGBTQ, it's okay because I also run the Lesbian Gay Film Festival, and every year we have a lot of different types of movies, and some of them are raunchy, very, very raunchy, and it's okay. They pass everything. So that is the one thing that actually has been...
So that means that the censorship, when we talk about the national security law, is only about politics more than anything.
Well, so far it seems. I mean, well, I can't say about other people, but as far as I know, for LGBTQ, it's no problem. Yeah.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you see in the future of this, of being a Hong Kong independent filmmaker? Do you think that you have enough opportunities or not?
I think we are in an interesting time, but if you look at the local productions recently, they've been very good, I think, and the box office are not bad, because I think what happened in the last decade was that a lot of the filmmakers are still kind to hold on to that 80s, 90s, genre
dream.
Movie, that dream. They do a lot of kung fu movies and sort of like slapstick comedies and make a lot of money, and they're thinking of that. But Hong Kong audience have actually moved on. Yeah. They don't want to watch that type of movies. They are sick and tired of gangster movies. But the movies that are producing now by the younger filmmakers are quite interesting, are about social issues, about Hong Kong, about how the society mistreated certain groups of people. And those are doing well because I actually met people who came to, you know, sort of like different screenings, and they say, this is the first Cantonese movie that I brought my kids to see.
Wow.
Yes, they said, because like I didn't want them to watch all those, you know, fighting action movies. I didn't want them to watch gangster movies. But your movie is actually about issues that is important. And it's about Hong Kong. That's why I bring my kids to watch it. And wow. I think there's a new group of
audience. I like
audience.
That. I like
yes.
that. So the
they're
level,
more sophisticated.
Much more sophisticated.
And therefore, they want their kids and they themselves to watch that type of movies. Because if you want entertainment, you can never fight with Hollywood. You can never compete with Marvel, right? So there's no point trying
Marvel
to...
Marvel is going down.
Yes.
The rating, I mean, the audience, the rating is all going down now.
But there's no point trying to recreate this action, sci-fi. You do what you are good at, and that is talking about something unique that's about Hong Kong.
If someone new coming in, a young person, they want to be a director, and what would you advise them? How would you advise them?
Well, okay. Make sure you have enough money in your bank account first so that you can survive a little bit. I think now that there are opportunities, well, first of all, because there are a lot of younger filmmakers who are making these low-budget productions, so you can try to get yourself on set, learn it that way. And people are quite friendly and very, very embracing for people who wants to work in this industry, because everybody knows that it's difficult and it's not a lot of money around. So if you want to do this, you have to be very passionate. So therefore, if you have enough passion and you don't mind, you know, working hard, I think there's a chance.
You started this Hong Kong Gay and Lesbian Film Committee, right?
The festival
committee. The festival.
Yeah.
When you started, were there a lot of participants?
This
is Hong Kong. I'm surprised even they have...
Well, the festival actually started in 1989 by Edward Lam. So he did it 89 to 97, and then it stopped. And then I came back to Hong Kong in 2000, and then I felt that, well, okay, what happened? This festival have stopped. And after 97, I didn't want the world to feel that, because after the hangover, everything has changed. So I restarted the film festival in 2000, just wanting to make sure that the world can see that we can still have an LGBT film festival. So that's how it started in 2000. And we're up until now, we're the longest running lesbian gay film festival in Asia.
Now how many films is in the festivals?
Well, it depending, I think about...
Give me a range.
Around 70 to 100.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We run for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Yes, you should come and watch some
I
films.
Would love to.
Yeah.
Ray, what do you think in the next few years... all your direction, all your new films will take you to do, you know, your film seems that today is a niche, as you said. It's very niche. Do you think that it will be more accepted as a wide, you know, a wider base? And what happened if Hollywood knock your door and ask you to direct a non-LGBT film?
Oh, okay. Well, I think, my films actually got distribution all around the world because I have an international sales agent, so I'm quite lucky in that way. It's still seen very much like an art house movie.
Yes, it is.
So yeah. I think, you know, it's never really going to be, you know, in that kind of very mainstream, but the world is changing, you know, the line is blurring, as you see, like the Oscars, no one would have thought that Parasite would have won.
Or Michelle's movie.
Yes, yeah. Everywhere. All that, you know, so it's changing. Line is blurring. In the old days, it used to be very, that kind of epic movies will win and become mainstream. And now even you see the nominations for the 10 best film, a lot of them are very independent and cater for like that movie, I think was about people who are deaf, you know, that won a few years ago.
Yeah, I forgot the name.
Yeah, so things are changing, and I very much feel that there's a possibility, you know, for me. And if there's Hollywood coming and ask me to do a movie, movie, and I'm certainly interested.
Not
in
an LGBT.
It. Yes, that's fine, but I can do something that have an LGBT sentiment. I think it doesn't have to be all about just gay, but it's still about sentiment, you know, like a character
emotions.
Like you, right? Like, Pearl, why are you so interested in LGBT?
I love. Like...
But I think you yeah. also have a lot of the sort of like sentiment about it, right? It's that kind of a feel that it doesn't have to be about gay people, but it can still about that kind of subject matter.
Right. What I mean, you... All the stories, yeah, the past two stories that you're looking at is addressing the issue, the social issue of Hong Kong. So are there any other issues that you want to address for your next few movies? It doesn't need to limit to Hong Kong. It can be a worldwide issues as well.
Yes.
What are you thinking?
Oh, so many. Every day is different. I have so many topics, you know, like different genres as well. You know, I'm thinking like, you know, you sort of like expose or engage in the different stories and you think, oh, well, this could be a good story. That could be a good story. And I'm also sort of like exploring different, different movies overseas as well. One in the UK and one in the US. So, yeah, so there are plenty of different ideas.
But nowadays, your movie is all about emotions. About sentiments, emotions, much more than what your first two movies.
Yeah. Well, I think the first two movies were also about that as well, but it was just done in a different kind of style. So these two are much more serious, I think you can say. So, I like to different explore. So let's see what's next. I haven't really have a very clear idea yet, but I do have a script. So
You do have a script? You've written a script already?
Two.
Two.
Yes. One is actually about an experience in a boarding school. So see, I'm going back to a retrospective. I got retrospective, guys. Yeah. But it's not about me. It's not about me. But it's about my experience. A little bit about inspired by my own experience in boarding school. So, but tie in with the Hangover. It's sort of like set in a period. Another one is about the film industry in Hong Kong. So that one is based in Hong Kong. And that one is sort of like not gay. It's actually not gay, that
wow.
one. Yes, it's not gay, but it's camp.
I love camp.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Ray, for
thank you.
Coming today.
Thank you so much.
And having a talk with me.
Yes.
Me, and goodbye, everybody.
And watch my movie.
Watch Ray's movie.